Greetings, it's Steve again with the Daily Inspiration. Some of you may have noticed that I missed the message yesterday. Well, I had recorded it and my phone died before I got it saved. But anyway, so sorry about the missed message there, but we'll just continue from where we left off and on the 26th. We're looking at Noah again, this the idea of being justified by faith, or as it says of Abraham, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. How does a man be righteous? And so we using Noah because Noah is used in Peter uses Noah as an illustration in the New Testament about baptism, comparing it to baptism and how Noah and his family was saved through the ark. In a like manner, we also are saved by baptism. And it's a little bit of a question there where, you know, there's this idea floating around that somebody who believes and dies before he is able to be baptized is just because he's not baptized. Well, and that's the false teaching that I'd like to maybe address just a little bit this morning, and just clarify the mode of, or the role of baptism in our salvation. First of all, I want to go through the book of Acts and look at a few verses here, just to emphasize the importance of baptism. And just to show that baptism was very high in the list of importance as far as the apostles. You know, when you look through the book of Acts, it was, you know, believing was almost without a question, you know, immediately followed by baptism. Looking at Acts chapter 12 first, here's Philip in the town of Samaria. And so he's preaching, and this is verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So it shows how immediately baptism followed after. And then verse 35 is also Philip and preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came in unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And then Peter's response is interesting, and Peter said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Peter asked him, and so at that point he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So we have this eunuch coming to a place where he believed, and then Philip says, and he wants to be baptized, Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, and he baptizes him right there upon his confession of his faith. So very, very important matter here that we don't want to make any less than what it is. Chapter 9 is then verse 17 is the account of the apostle Paul, or in this case he's called Saul, when he was converted. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately the fear fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Again, the immediate response here we see is for him to get up and to be baptized. Chapter 16, going through the different places where the gospel was clearly laid out here. Chapter 16 and verse 30 to 33, here's where Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail. and they were singing and praising God. And at midnight, there was an earthquake, and all the doors were open, and their bands were loosed. And the keeper was going to kill himself, but Paul said that he shouldn't do that, that they're all there. And the keeper said, verse 29, then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So here's a very direct question, saying, what must I do to be saved? And then Paul's response, again, is interesting, because he says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So here, Paul, again, laid it out very clearly. In believing, we are made righteous. And so he said, and it spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. So while Paul made it very clear that, you know, the message was to believe, the immediate response afterward was to be baptized. And then also Acts chapter 10, we could look at also Acts chapter 10 and verse 30, 31. Okay, so here's the account of Peter going to Cornelius. This is an interesting account here, because here we have a Gentile. This is where Peter was called to go to Cornelius, the Gentile, and preach the gospel to him. So let's start in verse 30. Peter asks him why he sent for him. So Peter comes to Cornelius' house, and he asks Cornelius why he sent for it. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa to call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside. When he cometh, shall speak unto thee. So, verse 31 there, the angel's response to Cornelius was interesting to me. It said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Here was a Gentile. This was, I don't know what he knew about Jewish customs or how, you know, how did he know about God? I'm not sure at all of those things, but there's a Gentile that was hungry, and he was searching, and he was asking God, and he was praying, and he was fasting, and he was also giving alms, the way it seems. And God looked down, and he said, no, I remember that. I see what you're doing. I see your earnestness. And then Peter's response there, so verse 34, maybe, yes. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Again, in every nation. That's beautiful, because, you know, here Peter and, you know, they had this biased opinion of who they were. They were Jews, and, you know, they weren't even supposed to enter into a Gentile's house, and this was, you know, forbidden things. But here was Peter. He was called. God clearly told him to go. And Peter said, you know, I see how, you know, in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted. So it's open to all of us. We all have that opportunity to fear him, to come before him, working righteousness. And receiving the righteousness of God. So the other thing I want to mention, let's just follow on through with that. First of all, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we have, as well as we? So, again, Peter's immediate response is, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed to him to tarry certain days, and they were immediately baptized. Now, the other thing I want to mention to you is that baptism, we think of that as a New Testament concept, but baptism was not necessarily New Testament, primarily New Testament, I should say. That was something that was well known and understood by the Jews all the way back to the book of Leviticus, where one example here is Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 6 is where Moses was dedicating Aaron and his sons to be the priest and high priest. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon them the coat, and they girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded them with the curious girdle of the ephod, bound it unto him therewith. Anyway, also in different places, it talks about uncleanness. You know, for example, somebody has leprosy and he is considered unclean. And anybody that comes in contact with him, or even with, you know, maybe a chair that he sat on or something like that, is considered unclean. And he was then required to wash himself in water and as a symbol of his cleansing. And it says in different places that he was bathed in water. And was unclean till the evening or something like that. So that was a concept that was understood in throughout the Old Testament, that you know, this symbol of washing of water. Even Jesus mentioned it to the Pharisees in a hypocritical way, that they were, you know, constantly washing pots and pans and things like that, and they were obsessed with that this cleanliness or whatever, and yet they didn't have any mercy. So anyway, and then I want to go back to maybe Noah, where we started here a little bit with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 to 22, where he gives the example of Noah, and this is an important part here, because it just kind of clarifies a little bit the real meaning of baptism. So chapter 3, in times, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven, is the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So he's using the example there of Noah, and I think it's a perfect example. It's great, you know, even though, you know, a lot of people kind of get it mixed up with, okay, so does that mean that I'm not saved if I'm not baptized? And you know, at what time does God actually declare me righteous? And you know, does this water have any power to wash away my sins? Or, you know, all those questions come up. And one of the things I'd like to mention here is that Noah, it says of Noah, he was perfect in his generation. And he was a righteous man before he went into the ark. And so God looked down, and here was Noah. He was perfect in his generation. He was righteous. He was you know, just the same way as it says of Abraham too, which we'll get into that later. But he was considered an upright man. And so so God comes to him. Verse 9 of chapter 6 in Genesis. I think we read this the other day. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it talks about the earth was corrupt, and God said unto Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So he commands Noah to make this ark. And one of the things that I want you to see very clearly here is that Noah was a righteous man before he built the ark. However, he believed God. He believed what God told him would happen. And therefore, he went ahead and he built that ark. If Noah would not have built that ark, it would have been perfect proof that he did not believe. But also the fact that he was willing to build the ark was proof that he believed, because, you know, this would have seemed like a ridiculous thing, going out and building this ark in the middle of nowhere, no water, and yet Noah believed God, and therefore it was counted to him for righteousness, just like it was for Abraham. It doesn't say that of him, but I believe the same thing is true for him. But that was before he actually did the act, before he went into the ark. And so the same way, we, with baptism, can believe and be counted righteous before baptism. However, I want to make this very clear, that if we're not willing to follow through with that, it simply is unbelief. We're not believing what God has commanded us to do. And we're not believing the need for that. And so obedience is not an option. If we're gonna disobey God, it just simply means that we don't believe God. And so you could say that what you believe will most certainly, so what you do, your actions will most certainly prove what you believe. It cannot be otherwise. Because you will act on something that you truly believe. So that's our message for this morning. I want to just say God bless you. May he keep you. Continue in his word.